Okay, Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, daf 31. We left off on the Mishnah on the middle of the page on Lamed Amud Bet. Today's class should be for the Refu'ah Shel Imam Ba'al Chonim, Ubichlalam, Chenda, Barachon Bachon Dujan, Men Menchan, Ubichon Nifka, Sarvan. Okay, we are in the Mishnah in the middle of the page on 30b, Lamed Amud Bet, new Mishnah. We're going to talk about on this daf a bunch of different types of neders a person can take. That when he says a neder about one general thing, it could or could not include other specific things. And we're going to see in all the specific cases when they would include and when it would not include. Okay, so the Mishnah says, "Anoder mina yilodim." If somebody takes a neder not to benefit from those who are yilodim, those who are already born, mutar ben noladim, he is allowed to benefit from those who have not yet been born. That's the simple understanding of how we understand these words. We're going to see though. Min hanoladim, if he takes a neder not to benefit from those who have not yet been born, asur mina yilodim, he's asur even to benefit from those who are born. Rabbi Meir matir af beilodim, Rabbi Meir permits even those who are born already. So the Gemara is going to ask on Rabbi Meir's opinion, but we'll get there. But Chachamim Amrim, the Chachamim says, Lo nitkaven ze ela b'misha tarko livalet. The kavanah of the person was only somebody who is going to be born. Meaning, what is the Chachamim saying? So the Mefarash explains, Asur b'shnehen. He says both cases. If he says, Mina noladim, from those who have not yet been born, it's Asur from those who have not been born and those who will be born. He's saying anybody who is in its pathway to be born. And we're going to see what the Gemara is going to say. What is that excluding? Who doesn't be born? Who is not born in this world? So the Chachamim, this Chachamim is the same exact opinion as the Tanakama of our Mishnah. And we're going to see in the Gemara.
How does he say that people already born?
He's saying that this guy who is saying, he is basically saying like the Tanakama. The Tanakama said, if you say a neder not to benefit from those who have not yet been born, the Tanakama said it's asur even those who are born.
Yeah, okay.
So the Chachamim are saying, I hold like that opinion as well, not like Rabbi Meir.
Right.
So the Gemara is going to explain though, according to Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, that he says that even those who are born are permitted. Does he not even need to, talk about noladim, those who have not yet been born? That should also be mutar? Meaning, so he didn't even need to mention about the noladim. Now, if he says that even those who are born are permitted, that means that those who are not born are permitted, those who are born are permitted, so who is asur? Who is he taking a neder from? So the Gemara says, Ela miman asur. Who is he asur from? So the Gemara answers, Chasurim, Ichsara ve'achi ketane. It's missing something, and this is what I was meant to say. Hanoder mina yilodim. If somebody takes a neder from those who are born, mutar ben noladim. He is permitted to those who have not yet been born. Min hanoladim, a neder from those who have not yet been born, asur b'yilodim. He is forbidden even to those who are born. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Af hanoder mina noladim. Even somebody who takes a neder from those who have not yet been born, mutar b'yilodim. He's still permitted to benefit from those who are born. Why? Ki hechi den noder mina yilodim mutar b'noladim. Just like a case, if he takes a neder not to benefit from those who are born, he is permitted to benefit from those who have not yet been born. So too, if he takes a neder not to benefit from those who are not born, he is still permitted to benefit from those who are born. Right? He's only talking about one category. You can't make an inference to all categories. Amar le Rafapa Labaye. Rafapa comes and asks Abaye, Lememra de Noladim de Mityaldan Mashma. Is that coming to tell us that Noladim, the word Noladim, means have yet to been born, they are going to be born but are not yet born? Is that what that word means? How do we know that? So now we have to look at some pesukim in the Tanakh to try to completely comprehend what that word nolad means. Elamata, we have a pasuk about. It's actually it's coming up. We're going to see this in the, you know, about a month or two, in a couple of weeks. That when Yaakov Avinu, when they go down to Mitzrayim, he says that the Yosef's children, Ephraim and Asher, they should be to me like Reuven and Shimon. Right? How does it say? It says, Lihem Ephraim and Asher, Reuven and Shimon Yuli. They should be to me like that. What does the pasuk say over there? It says, your two sons, Shnei Banecha, Hanuladim Lecha. It says, your two sons that are born to you in Eretz Mitzrayim. So what is that? Okay, so let's look at the Gemara now. Elamata, if that's the case, that Noladim means have yet to be born. Shnei banecha noladim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim. When it says Yaakov told him, your two sons that are born to you in Egypt, who's referring to? Ephraim and Asher. The word nolad over here is referring to what? They're already born. But you said nolad is referring to not yet born. So what is it? So the Gemara says, hachinami deityaldanhu. Is this also that they have not yet been born? How is that the case? But we know that Ephraim and Asher were already alive at the time. They were much older at the time. So ve'ela my dilidu mashma. Where do we see that this word nolad means have yet to be born? The Gemara comes and says, elamata, if that's the case, tichtiv, it says in the pasuk in Melachim, it says, hine ben nolad David David, there was a son born to the house of David, Yoshiyahu Shemo, and his name is Yoshiyahu. So the Gemara says, hachinami dehava, was he already born? Meaning, over there, what does it say? Nolad. It was a boy born to the house of David. So it sounds like it was already born, right? But that's not the case, because there's no way Yoshiyahu was already born, because at that time, the Gemara says, "Veha adayim Menashe lo ba." Menashe wasn't even alive yet, and Menashe was Yoshiyahu's grandfather. So how could it be that Yoshiyahu was already born? So clearly the Tanakh is using the word nolad, not to say already born, rather will be born. So this contradicts what we just said. So the Gemara says, "Ela mashma achi u'mashma achi." Sometimes it is already born, sometimes it is in the future tense, will be born. So how do we differentiate? And when it says, u'menedarim, and by neder, halech achar lashon menei adam. We go after the lashon of a person. Meaning, the lashon of a person is generally to call noladim that have not yet been born by the case of a neder. Because yilodim is those who are already born. So that's how we know that in the case of neders, it is has not yet been born. That's how the Gemara answers. Then we send in the Mishnah, the Chachamim say, "Lo nikaven ze ele b'misha darko livaled." The Mishnah was only talking about somebody who is it's the pathway to be born. Who is that coming to exclude? Everybody is born, no? So the Gemara says, "La'apuke mai." Who is it coming to exclude? La'apuke dagim ofot. Coming to exclude fish and chickens. So how are they born? Oh, very good. So they're born into an egg. They're not really born. They are created in an egg, and then they are kept warm. And once they get really warm, they crack their egg and they come out. So that's not born. That's hatched. That's something different. So that would not be included in this category of born. If you took a nether, it would not be asur to those types of feces, those types of animals. Mm-hmm. Sorry, species. New Mishnah. Hanuder mishovetei Shabbat. If somebody takes a neder not to benefit from people who rest on Shabbat. Okay, now we have a very interesting case. So, asur beYisrael, veAsur beKutim. He's asur to benefit from any Jew who keeps Shabbat, obviously, and from any Kuti. What's a Kuti? So, Kuti was a group of people that were feared into keeping the mitzvot and converting. They were like feared into it. Forced into it, sort of. And so they didn't really... they kept a lot of the biblical mitzvot. They kept a lot of the mitzvot. But they weren't... They didn't do it milev shalem. They didn't do it with a full heart. So we view them as Jews in some aspects, but not in full aspects. Nowadays, they're like kigoyim gemurim. They're like non-Jews altogether. But in those times... Like the symbol and the standing that they actually converted, but it was out of fear. It wasn't like... So the Gemara says, if he takes a neder not to benefit from those who keep Shabbat, he's asur for Israel and from Kutim. Me'ochale shum, from those that eat garlic, asur be Israel, but asur be Kutim is asur to benefit from a Jew and from the Kutim. What is this talking about? So the way the Mefaresh explains it is that they would have Jews were used to eating garlic. And you know, Talmidei Chachamim, every Erev Shabbat, every Friday night, they would have their obligation to sleep with their wives Friday night. So they would say that the garlic would increase their zera, and so that's why they would have garlic, and the Kutim also had this custom to sleep together on Friday night, and they would eat this garlic Friday night. Okay? That's them. Me'olei Yerushalayim. If somebody takes a neder not to benefit from those who go up to Yerushalayim for the Chag, so what's the case? Asur b'Yisrael, umutar b'kutim, he's a sort of benefit from Israel, but here he's permitted to benefit from a kuti. So we're going to see in the Gemara why. What's going on here? So the Gemara says, my shavati Shabbat. What does it mean, those who rest on Shabbat? Well, it's such a cryptic phrase. Does it mean, ilema mimekaimei Shabbat? Is it referring to those who fulfill Shabbat? If that's the case, my iria b'kutim. Why is it specifically talking about kutim? It could be anyone really keeps Shabbat. Afilo oved ovdei kochavim nami. Even if you have a goy, a non-Jew, who keeps Shabbat, he's not allowed to. But if he does, he would be included in this nether. Why are you specifying only a kuti? So the Gemara says, ela mimitzuvim al ha-Shabbat. It's talking about somebody who is commanded to keep Shabbat, like Jews and kutim. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, yachi ema seifa. Go to the latter part of the Mishnah. We said, Me'olei Yerushalayim, from those who, if he takes a nether not to benefit from those who go up to Yerushalayim, Asur b'Yisrael, Mutar b'Kutim, he's forbidden to benefit from Israel, but permitted to benefit from a Kuti. But what is it talking about? It's talking about every Chag we have a mitzvah, Aliyat HaRegel, you have to go up to the Beit HaMikdash, bring your Korbanot, Shalosh Regalim, right? So this is an obligation on every Jew. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between a Jew and a Kuti here? Amai, why would a Kuti be excluded in this? They're also obligated to go and go up to Yerushalayim. So if we're going based on who's obligated, they should be asur also. You should be asur to benefit from them too. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye mitzuve ve'ose ketani. What we were talking about was somebody who's obligated and he does it. That's who we're asur to. So betarte bave kamaita. In the first two cases in the Mishnah, Israel vekutim mitzuvin veosin. Jews and kutis, they keep Shabbat. They're obligated to keep Shabbat, and they keep Shabbat. They're obligated to, I guess they have their onah with their wives, and they eat their garlic. So those two cases, they're obligated, and they do it. So in those two cases, it becomes asura benefit. But in the last case, avdei kochavim, hu de avdei osin ve'ina mitzuvin. The goyim, even if a non-Jew wants to keep Shabbat or do one of those things, they don't have that obligation. They have obligation to keep Shabbat. So it's not in the category of somebody who's obligated and does, unlike a Jew or a Kuti who is obligated and does. So that's why the first two cases is different. And be'olei Yerushalayim. And in the third case, people who go up to Yerushalayim, Israel mitzuvin ve'osin, Jews are commanded and they go up and do it. Kuti mitzuvin ve'inan osim. Whereas the Kutis, they're obligated, but they don't actually do it. So therefore, when he says, I'm taking a nether not to benefit from those who go up to Yerushalayim for the regel, I'm only referring to those who are obligated and actually do it, unlike the Kutis who don't do it.
Why are they also commanded to do it?
Because they're in the category of Jews, so they are obligated to go up for Aliyat HaRegel. Okay. New Mishnah. Konam, if somebody takes a neder, she'inin henel b'nei Noach, that I don't benefit from sons of Noach, anyone who came from Noach. So the Gemara says, mutar b'Israel, he's allowed to marry a Jew, he's allowed to benefit from a Jew, but he's not allowed to benefit from a non-Jew. Well, how does it make any sense? We all came from Noach, right? So the Gemara says, v'Israel min nafik miklal b'nei Noach, or did Israel not come from Noach? We all came from Noach. So how could it be that if he takes a neder not to benefit from the children of Noach, he's permitted to benefit from a Jew? So the Gemara says, Kevan de ikdash Avraham itkaru al sheme. Once Avraham became like sanctified or had some kiddushah with the aspect of getting in the portion of Hashem, he had that covenant with Hashem, so therefore we all got named after the children of Avraham. We are no longer considered the children of Noach. Hafuch, the non-Jews are considered the children of Noach. Okay, new Mishnah. She'eni nehene lezera Avraham. If somebody says, I will not benefit from the seed of Avraham, Asur b'Yisrael, mutav b'avdei kochavim, he is permitted to benefit from a Jew, but not he's not allowed to benefit from a Jew, but he's allowed to benefit from a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, v'hayika Ishmael. But what about Ishmael? Ishmael's not Jewish, at face value. Those who came from... Huh? Yes, so Ishmael. So why Ishmael? Why would he be permitted? So the Gemara says, it says that with Yitzchak I will call you, the future seed. Meaning, your children will be called after Yitzchak, not after Ishmael. So the pasuk says it. So since the pasuk says it, only the children from Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, but Va'ika Esav. What about Esav? Esav is a child from Yitzchak. Why is Esav permitted? So the Gemara says, Yitzchak velo kol Yitzchak. And it says, within Yitzchak, but not all of Yitzchak's children. Meaning it's only a portion of Yitzchak's children, those who are in the lineage from Yaakov Avinu. Why? I think one explanation here that I've seen is that the Achronim say that since Yaakov Avinu ended up getting the bracha in this week's parasha, so that lineage now all comes through him over here. So that's why it would be considered only through him and not from Esav. Okay, new Mishnah. She'eini nehenem Yisrael, if somebody said, I will not benefit from a Jew, lokeach biyoter, umocher bipachot. He buys for more than the market value, but he has to sell for less than the market value. She'Yisrael, huh? If he says, I won't benefit from Yisrael, excuse me. So when he goes and he wants to buy something, let's say, and sell it to a Jew, here, the Mefarish says, Klomar, Bezol, Venimsa She'eino Ne'eneh Mehen. He has to go and buy it. Buy it expensive. Right, because he can't benefit. And he has to sell it for cheap. So because he's selling it to a Jew, so he can't benefit from it. So he loses money, essentially. Excuse me. Okay. So Israel nehenin li, if he says, no Israel should benefit from me, lokeach bepachot, he can buy for under the market value, umocher beyoter, and he sells for above the market value, right? Because a Jew is not allowed to benefit from him, so he has to sell always high price. But the Mishnah
says, sorry, I would say the first part of the beginning of the Mishnah said that if you can't benefit from a Jew, you have to lose money
right.
You can't make money off.
Exactly.
Okay, and the Adarabak for he says for him to benefit from me.
Exactly, the opposite, okay. Exactly. Okay. And the Mishnah says, Ve'en shomin lo, but people don't generally listen to him, right? If he comes and says, because I made a neder, I have to buy it from you for cheap. I have to sell it to you for very cheap. People are going to get very suspicious. Imagine I come to you and I want to sell you an expensive item, jewelry. And I tell you, here, I'm selling to you for half the market price. You're going to get very suspicious, right? So people will never want to do business with a type of guy like this. Then the Mishnah says, She'eini nehene lahen, if he says that I will not benefit from them, Vehen li, and them will not benefit from me. So yehene lo de kohavim, you can benefit from non-Jews. Okay, Amar Shemuel says, Halokeach kli min ha'uman. If somebody takes a utensil from a professional, levakero, in order to check it, to see if it works, if everything's good, v'ne'nas biado, and it actually breaks while it's in his possession. So what happens? Chayav. He's obligated to pay back the owner the amount of the value. So what do we see from here? Alma, kasavar, he holds, hana'at lokeachi. This is considered a benefit of the buyer. Even though he's just taking it to check it, he's not really using it, it's still considered a benefit of the buyer.
Right?
But what did we say in our Mishnah? Continuing. Tanan, it said in the Mishnah, She'eini nehene Misrael. If he says, I will not benefit from a Jew, mocher bepachot, he has to sell under the market value. Aval shave b'shave lo, but he cannot sell it for exactly what the value is that the market value is that he bought it. So the Gemara asks, V'yi hana'at lokeachi, and if this is considered the benefit of a buyer, even if he sells it for the actual market value and he doesn't lose money, why is that not allowed? It should be allowed. That should be permitted. Because if we're saying that if I give you a kli to use, even for a couple of minutes, or to check, or to handle, it's in your hands, if you break it, you have to pay for it. That means it's a benefit that you're holding, you're responsible for it. So too, if I'm buying something from you, it's a benefit for me, so even if it's market value that you're selling to me for, you're not making money, but you're not losing money, it's still a benefit for me. So if you're not allowed to benefit, why... why can't I buy it from you from the market value? Why would that be allowed? So the Mishnah says, Matnitin bizavina derami alape. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the demand is very low for this item. It's a very low demand. And so therefore, that's why, if the demand is very low, this guy buying it at the market value is not a good deal for him. Right? So if he says, I will not benefit from a Jew, he can't sell it at the market value that he bought it. Because if it's talking about something that has low demand, so this guy who's buying it is giving him a benefit. He has to sell it for a loss, so it's really not a benefit for him. Okay, very good. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, imken, ema resha. Go to the first part of the Mishnah. We said, lokeach biyoter. We said, he has to buy for over the market value. But why is that the case? It should be even, shaveh b'shaveh. Even if it's something that is not a high demand, even if he buys it for market value, it's something that's not high demand. So what's the difference if he buys it for over the market value or for what the market value is itself? He's losing because it's something that's not high demand, right? So the Gemara says, and not only that, but oh, then also, Ema Seifa, go to the latter part, She'Yisrael Nehanin Li, if he says a Jew cannot benefit from me, he can lokeach mifachot, he can buy for cheap, for under the market value, umocher biyoter, and he sells it for more than the market value. So the Gemara says, ve'i bezavina de rami alape, if it's talking about something that has low demand, afilu shaveh b'shaveh, he should even be allowed to sell it for the equal amount of market value that he bought it. Why does it require him to sell it for more than the market value? But he says, this Jew is not allowed to benefit from me. So if I sell it to him for the market value, seemingly it should be asur. But if it's talking about something that has low demand, even if the person who's buying it buys it for the market value price, and really I'm not getting a gain, he's not getting a gain either, because this is something that has low demand, so really I am getting a gain. He can't benefit from me. And if I sell it for the market value, he's not benefiting from me. So why am I not allowed to sell it for the market value? So the Gemara says, Seifa bezavina charifa. No, the latter part of the Mishnah is talking about something that has high demand. So that's why. If it has high demand, then for me, I can sell these easily. This is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So for me, for him not to benefit from me, I shouldn't sell it to him at the market value. Because what am I doing there? It's high demand. Let me sell it for more. So if I sell for more, now it's not a benefit for him really.
Right.
Very good. So the Gemara then says, Ihachi, if that's the case, lokeach bepachot, that which we said that he has to buy for less than the market value, right?
Just buy it at below,
when he below market value. Afilu shaveh b'shaveh. He should even be, the buyer should even be allowed to buy it for more than the market value, for equal to the market value. Why? Look at the last mefaresh. Afilu shaveh b'shaveh nami. Yehe lokeach hamadir. Deha hanat lokeachi. It's considered a benefit for the buyer. Velona hanat hamocher. And not a benefit for the seller. So what is it saying here? It's saying, if I say that this person cannot benefit from me when I go and buy it, what do we say when he buys it? He has to buy it for less than the market value, so this guy's not benefiting from me. Mm-hmm. But why do you have to buy it for less than the market value? If it's something that has a high demand, even if I buy it for the regular market value, I can sell this easily. So when I buy it from him for the market value, he's not losing money, but it's a benefit for me, not for him, because I can sell it very easily.
If why? You're getting
anything, huh?
You don't gain anything. Sell it for $10 and buy
no,
it.
No. I bought. Hold on. You have a seller who is not allowed to benefit. The seller's not allowed to benefit. We said he has to sell it. The person has to sell it for less than what he bought it.
Yeah.
So he can lose. Yeah. Right? Because that was the neder. The question is, why can't he just sell it for the market value itself? Because if we're talking about the latter part of the Mishnah, is talking about something that has a high demand. So the buyer, when he buys it for the market value, he's benefiting because he didn't spend any more money than needed to, and he can sell it for more because there's a high demand for it. So that's a benefit for him, not for the seller. Why can't he buy it for the market value? Ella, we must say, matnitin bezavina mitzah. We have to say that our Mishnah is actually talking about merchandise that is a moderate demand. It's not a high demand, but it's not a low demand. It's something in the middle. Look at the mefaresh. Delo have zavina charifa, velo zavina redenamya alape. It's not a high, it's not a low. Lefikach, shaveh b'shaveh, lo. He cannot buy it for market value. The zimnin have hanat mocher, the zimnin have hanat lokeach. Sometimes it's a benefit for the seller, and sometimes it's a benefit for the buyer. It depends on the demand. Sometimes, so if it's not a high demand, then it's a benefit for the seller if he sells it at market value. Therefore, we say you can't sell it for the market value. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back and asks on the opinion of Shmuel. Ude Shmuel, according to the opinion of Shmuel, that what did we say? We said Shmuel said if he buys a kli from the uman, from the professional, to check it, and it breaks in his hand, he has to pay. What do we see? It's the benefit of the buyer. So if he says he's talking about the benefit of the buyer, then if it's the benefit of the buyer, let the buyer buy it at market value. This question comes back according to Shmuel. So the Gemara then answers, Bizavina Kharifa. Shmuel, what we're talking about, Shmuel's opinion that he says you're liable, is talking about something that has a high demand. And so therefore, that's for sure considered the benefit of the buyer. Let's look at the mifaresh. Devadai have hanat lokeach. It's for sure the benefit of the buyer. The fikach ki ne'enas, when he breaks it, biyado chayav. He says he has to pay afilu shaveh b'shaveh, even if it's even the equal to the market value. The hanat lokeachi, because that is considered the hanat lokeach. I mean, according to him, how do we explain it? How does it make sense that he has to pay? So he's talking about a case where it has a high demand, and so therefore, since it has a high demand, even if he's buying it for the market value, it has a high demand. So once I'm buying it, now it's in my hands, it's my responsibility to be responsible to pay for it if it breaks, because it has a high demand. So that's how we would explain Shmuel's opinion. Tanya kavet edi Shmuel. This baraita is just like Shmuel. Halokeach kelim min atagar. Somebody buys utensils, buys kelim from a merchant, l'shaggiran l'vit chamiv, to send it to his father-in-law's house. And he said to the merchant, "Im mekablin otan mimeni, if my father-in-law accepts it from me, I'll pay you for it." v'im lav, and if he doesn't accept it from me, you allow me to return. Ani noten lecha lefi tovat hanah. I will give you the utensils back, and I'll pay you the amount of benefit that I had for that little travel that I took with it, that you could have sold it to someone else. Meaning, you could have used it for something else. In this last hour, I'll pay you for that if my father-in-law doesn't take it. So the Gemara comes and says, the benefit that is within them that I had taken from you if he doesn't take it from me. So the Gemara says, ne'ensu, if let's say he had an onus, something happened, the kelim got ruined. So bahalicha, if it's while he's going there, chayav, he has to pay them back. Whereas bechazara, if it's on his way back that he doesn't want them anymore, he's returning it, patur, then he would be exempt. Why? Because he is like a paid shomer. So somebody who's like a paid shomer, if it's on his way back, here, look at the mefaresh. Bechazara patur, he doesn't have any benefit from them anymore because his father-in-law didn't take them. So it's not benefit for him, so he wants to return it. So therefore, it's just a paid shomer to bring it back to the person. But really, he doesn't. He's not responsible for the damage that happens to him. Meaning, only in a case if it gets stolen or something like that.
He's a shoel. Shoel chayav ba'ones.
Right, exactly. But when he's on his way back, he's a shomer. So since he's shomer sachar, he's only liable if, let's say, it was stolen or something along those lines. But if it was just damaged, that's not his responsibility anymore. So the Gemara says, "Ahu saf sirah." The shakal chamra. There was this person who used to buy animals in order to sell them. Okay, that was his job. And he bought an animal, he bought a donkey, lizavuni, to sell it. Velo izvan, and he wasn't able to sell it. Behade de hadar, when he was coming back with it, itnis chamra. The animal got destroyed. The donkey got destroyed. Chiyve Rav Nachman de Shalumi, and Rav Nachman required him to pay back. You bought the animal on, let's say, memo, let's call it, to go and sell it. It didn't work out. Somebody buys on memo, you ruin the merchandise, you have to pay back. So the Gemara says, Eitive Ravala Rav Nachman. Rava is a contradiction on Rav Nachman's opinion. We said, Ne'ensu, in that previous case we just brought, if it was ones bahalicha while the person was walking there, chayav, he has to pay back. Bechazara, on his way back, patur, we said he's exempt. Why don't you say the same thing over here? The guy's on his way back with the donkey. He should be patur, he should be exempt. So the Gemara answers, Amar le chazara de safsira holachai. The returning of this type of merchant, this type of seller who bought this animal in order to sell it, his returning is actually part of his business. Because what happens if, let's say, on his way back, he finds someone who wants to buy it? Yeah. He's not going to sell it to them. He will. So he's still on his business. But that guy who was taking it to his father-in-law's house, once the father-in-law doesn't want it, it's as if it's not his anymore. He's just a shomer sachar. So that's what the Gemara says. De ilu mashkach lezavone. If he found someone to buy it, he was able to sell it. Even if it's at the outside the entrance of the house, would he not have sold it? He for sure would have sold it. So therefore, in that case, his whole travel all the way back is also considered his business. And so therefore, he's taking it on memo. And in that case, he would have to pay back. Okay, I think we'll stop there for today. We'll do a quick 1 minute recap. We started on the Amud Bet and the new Mishnah. We started talking about the difference between Yilodim and Noladim. Right, those who were born already versus those who have not yet been born. And we said, where do we know that noladim, actually the word noladim means those who have been born. Who have not yet been born. And we said there's one pasuk in the Torah, one pasuk in the Tanakh, two different pasukim. We said sometimes it means born, sometimes it means not yet born. By neder though, it means not yet born. Then as we flipped the amud to the amud aleph, we started talking about different types of neders, and we said a type of neder somebody takes not to benefit from those who keep Shabbat. So we said it was talking about somebody who is obligated and keeps. Then the next part of the Mishnayot was all different types of Mishnayot that a person, nedarim that a person could take, that he makes a neder not to benefit from this specific person, from a type of person like this, and it could or could not include other people depending on what type of word he says. Like B'nai Noach doesn't include the Jews, whereas the children of Abraham includes only the Jews, right? Then, as we continued, we got towards the bottom of the Amud Aleph, we spoke about the difference between when something has high demand versus low demand. If it has a high demand, so it's a benefit for the buyer. If it has a low demand, it's a benefit for the seller, right? And then as we flipped the Amud, really the final part of the daf was that if a person buys something really on memo, and we said, if it's in order to sell, so then no matter what, until he brings it back, it's his responsibility. But if someone buys something to go give it to his father-in-law, and he says, if I come back with it, then I'll just pay you for the tovat hana'ah shebahen, the benefit that I had from them. So in that case, on his way there, he's responsible. On the way back, if something happens, he's not responsible to pay for it. Okay, Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen ve'amen.